And therein is the sinner's righteousness before God. It's that doctrine. What I've just declared unto you is the sum of the gospel. You say, why would people be offended with that? Because they have built up their own doctrines. Got a lot invested. Look around at religion today. There's a lot invested in religion. I'm talking even Christendom. Look at how big these buildings are, how beautiful, and how many masses there are. It's an odd thought that the Lord gives me every once in a while, that if the Lord should ever put me in a place to preach in one of those places, that probably would not last a year before we'd have to sell the building. Downsize, get rid of everything. Shut her down. Why? Because it's in contrast to everything that the Scriptures teach about Christ and who He is and what He accomplished. You're talking about the broad way versus the narrow. And isn't that what most people get upset about when they hear you declaring the doctrine of Christ? They'll say, oh, that's narrow there. That cuts out too many. Are you telling me? That's how people respond. You telling me that you're the only one that's saved? Because they see a problem, but they don't want to ever give up that bad investment. All of us have been in bad investments at one time or another. You just keep hanging on, thinking somehow that thing's going to turn around. I don't know when, at what point you learn, you never improve your weaknesses. You can strengthen your strengths, but you can never improve your weaknesses. They are what they are. And I'll tell you, everything about this flesh is nothing but weakness. You're not going to improve it. Nothing you do, say, or try is going to ever improve who we are and what we are. I dare say that that spirit is still in sinners today. They're not satisfied with what the Scriptures have to say concerning Christ, but they transgress in their minds thinking there's got to be something more. You ever had anybody tell you that? Yeah, I know. I hear you talk all the time about Christ and crucified, but isn't there something more? What more do you want? What more do you need? In fact, it's a frightening thing to think that you would still be pursuing the fruit of that tree of knowledge and good and evil. And I will tell you, all of false religion is still in that tree. People are born with that spirit. They're just changing branches. When someone says, well, I think I'm going to go down and try this denomination. Well, how about it? It's just a different form of works. You're still eating of the fruit of that tree of knowledge and good and evil. I think I need to experience this. Well, it's still part of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And not the tree of life. There's only one tree of life, and that is Christ and the revelation of Christ. He does assure his own and give them peace of mind when needed. Now, he's not going to give grace 1 second ahead of time. And I find it interesting here in verse 3, David's men said unto him, now remember, these are these 600. These are hardened. These are people with debt and criminals and sinners, and just a ragtag group. But the men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. In other words, they're sitting there trembling, and there's nothing better than honesty before the Lord. And we're in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Fear's a snare. But here again is a picture of Christ as the intercessor and Christ as the mediator, because it says in verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. You see this connection, just like Christ was with his Father, interceding on behalf, not everybody, but those that he had gathered around him, his sheep, as fearful as they were. Because if the Lord said to them, fear not, it means there was fear. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. What a blessed consolation and place to be in knowing that not one thing is going to touch one of the Lord's that he's purposed to save.